B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's the third time through, and the third time
through... Doesn't make any sense. It's the sixth inning. He's got 73 pitches. If you don't let an ex-Cy Young winner, who's throwing 97-98, hitting his spots, dominating, if you don't let him stay in, let's just put a cap on starting pitchers. Let's just say every starting pitcher can only throw six innings, because there's certain guys that you should give a leash to. Blake Snell was that guy tonight. You give him that leash. And if I'm a hitter, and you saw it, Mookie Betts, first at bat, double down the line. Yep. I am dancing because Blake Snell's out of that game.
Oh, yeah, the Dodgers, new lease on life when they took out Snell. But Nerd doesn't notice that. The Nerd is just reading the spreadsheet. So the Nerd doesn't see... Well, the human element in any way, shape, or form. He doesn't see the compete. He doesn't see the psychological impact of a guy that's dealing, getting taken out of a game. And Nerd doesn't look at that. The Nerd looks at the spreadsheet. The Nerd's not even watching the game, as Tim Kirchen so eloquently and so brilliantly put before. They've stopped watching the game. They just see the numbers. And the numbers do work, and the analytics do work. They do. I've said this many times over. This is the bad news. The bad news is the analytics work. And if the Rays make that decision over 10 games, it probably works for them 6 or 7 or whatever, and the numbers bear out over the long haul. And that approach got them to Game 6 of the World Series with a tiny payroll. So it works. It blew up in their face last night, but on average it works. Most of their crap works. It's just killed the game. And never mind the three true outcomes. I mean, you had it again last night. I mean, it was a 3.5-hour game. 9-inning game, low scoring. Those are usually, you know, and when we were kids, that game was the
220.
225 game. Okay, now it's a 325 game. So, I didn't watch the whole thing. No one probably did. How can you? But every time I flipped it over, every time I tuned it on, someone was striking out. 27 strikeouts. 27 strikeouts, 4 walks, 2 home runs. Okay, so that was...
That's 33 plate appearances right there.
So, 33... plate appearances. There were 65 total plate appearances. Mm-hmm. So 33 of the 65, nothing happened. And I'll include the home runs as nothing happened. If you want to take out the home runs because something actually did happen. I mean, the ball left the park. No one had to move. But anyway, about half the at-bats last night, it's just two guys playing catch.
Right. Which in an odd way brings me back to Snell. He did what they wanted and they stopped him from doing it. Like, the whole idea is to keep the ball out of play. So he's mowing people down. It's unbelievable. I still have a hard time believing it got this far.
It shouldn't have been surprising to anyone.
So again, the analytics don't surprise me. The fact that they would take it to this extreme blows me away. This was not your run-of-the-mill pitching decision. 73 pitches. He'd allowed 2 hits. He's given 2 balls out of the infield. He's blowing people away the whole night. And they took him out because they decided before the game he wasn't going to face him more than twice.
Was never going to happen.
Unbelievable.
Anderson was hot and ready to go.
Unbelievable that they could make a decision before the game started on what they were going to do and ignore everything that happened in the game. This is the equivalent of, we're going to get 3 innings out of him. He's going to give up 12 runs, but we're going to let him finish 3 innings. It's that backwards.
So, but again, it generally does work. Here's the problem. That isn't, you know, Kevin Cash's or the who's a Rays GM. It's not their fault. Those teams are not charged with saving the game. Okay? Their job is to win. Their job isn't to save the game or make it aesthetically pleasing. So they're just trying to find any angle. It's all based on numbers and analytics to win. So that they're doing their job as they see it. It's not their job to save the game. So I'm not blaming them for this. But it does help kill the game.
Oh, no question it does.
The whole drama of a guy taking the ball and shoving for 9 innings with a complete game shutout with how many strikeouts, you know, to force a Game 7 is why you watch. You don't watch because the analytics say the third time through, or you're not watching because their matchup and the binder says this guy versus that guy. You're not watching to see the manager come out and take the ball for a pitching change. You're watching for the human element and the compete, the competition. And there was a great backstory with Snell because this guy is the tool bag in the offseason that said, I need mine. I ain't going to get the corona. I got to get mine. I ain't playing. And here he is mowing them down with the championship on the line. That's great human drama. That's a great thing to watch. And the nerd doesn't care.
I mean, that had Game 7 Jack Morris feel to it.
Oh, yeah, big time.
And the nerds decided, no, we can't have that. It's predetermined. Follow the recipe.
Who was going Game 7? Would it have been Bueller? Or would, you know, Kershaw would have been involved in some way, shape, or form. And you have a Game 7. And
then that's all hands on deck, right? I mean, you know, that one's going to be so all... Right. But this was... Look, pro sports, if you're going to charge people for tickets... And you are going to charge them for web subscriptions and everything else. It's a performance theater. You've got to give me a performance. That's the part that I just am flabbergasted by, that the business side of it has overtaken the sports side of it. It's overtaken it. They've always collided. Always.
Well, no, I don't think you put that right. It's not business. The nerds have figured out this is the best way to win.
Right.
So it's really all pure competition. They're not. It's, you know, if anything, I think it hurts their business. The style of play hurts their business. They acknowledge it. You know? So they acknowledge the pace of play and the pitching changes and the length of games. They acknowledge that it's not a good product and they'd like to change it. So it's not business. It's pure. They've determined this is the best way to compete and win. And I think
that's fair.
And I think they're largely right. It's just the manner in which it is. I just wish the nerds and what they came up with was an entertaining way to do it. You know, at least in football, you're saying the nerds are taking over and all the two-point conversions and going for it on fourth. At least that's kind of interesting, right? I mean, I think it's harebrained too, but you get to see someone go for it on fourth down at their own 20.
No, there's drama there.
Yeah, right? So like those nerds...
Give it 5 years, you'll hate it.
Well, I mean, I hate that the nerd's making the call, Murray, but at least it's... Right, I mean, that's different then.
No, it is different.
We're going to take out the pitcher before he gets to the lineup the third time. Like, that is, so I can bring in some no-name reliever?
No, it's the equivalent of a quarterback going 25 for 27 and then taking him out.
Because we've determined that with 10 minutes left, it's diminishing returns.
Yeah.
And the numbers show it.
I mean, it's asinine. I'm telling you, get right, it is, it's asinine.
Oh, my God.
And you're right. When I say the business part of it, what I should say is the analytical
part. The analytic part of it.
It's preposterous. I mean, it is. It's preposterous. We watch sports for the competition, for the human element. That's what we watch them for. They're taking that out.
Almost all the nerd stuff works in most sports. It really does.
Wait for basketball because one's going to be next.
It is. It's a three-point line. No one has a mid-range game anymore because if you take two steps back and shoot 39% from three, it's better than shooting 50% from two. And so why shoot from 19 feet? Shoot from 24. And now so they've already done that.
It's going to get worse.
And the spreading of the floor and everyone should shoot. So that's why I have all these big guys now who can't play with their back to the basket and can't play in the post. They're at the three-point line too. The nerds have taken over basketball.
It's going to get worse. I say get ready for it, I mean get ready for it to be ruined.
So, like, it bugs me that the nerds have taken over basketball, but even that, I think basketball is a relatively entertaining product.
It is, for now.
I think they've spread the floor, and those nerds, you know, the efficient way to win in basketball hasn't ruined the sport. What they've come up with in football hasn't ruined the sport. What these nerds have come up with in baseball has helped ruin the sport.
No question about it.
I mean, the most valuable thing maybe in all of sports is a Game 7 of the World Series. And the Rays in baseball said, nah, we're good.
Seriously. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a guy out there putting together what up to that point was an epic performance. Epic.
Again, Jack Morris, Game 7 against the Braves.
This was going to go down. If he could carry this thing through 8 innings, strike out 14, 15 guys. And that's an if, okay? Because the numbers show that starting the third time through, his ERA is over 12.
Exactly.
Okay? So they figured, no, we're going to get ahead of it. But under the circumstances, with the way it looked, if they had let him go, we may have seen one of the great World Series performances in history last night.
The computer was not going to allow for it.
Instead, it's, you know, paint by numbers.
No, baseball is like the science fiction movie where we are just glorified golden retrievers for the computers.
Seriously.
The Matrix or whatever. There's a bunch of movies like this where AI takes over and we're just like nice little house pets for the computers. That's what baseball's become.
I know this is not new. I know it's not new, but the nature of the way it happened last night on that stage with that performance, I think put a lot of people over the top. They just finally said, what the F are you donkeys doing? What are you doing? Holy crap. You decide before the game that he's coming out no matter what? No matter what? I don't get it. And I just don't get it.
And it's going to be that way here, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yep. They've already started. Oh, yeah. No two ways about it. Get ready for that. Ought to be fun. I'm sure Remy and Eck will love that.
Okay, back to your thoughts, I promise, right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm worried about our game. We have lost a feel for the game. We have stopped watching the games. In this postseason, relief pitchers threw more innings than our starting pitchers threw. We have lost the value of our starting pitchers. There is no way that a guy who faced 18 batters tonight, struck out 9 of them, had one hard hit ball, should be taken out. Nick Anderson is a great relief pitcher. He allowed one inherited run the whole season, but he allowed 3 in the postseason, and he set a major league record for most postseason appearances in a row, allowing a run. 7. He's not the same guy. We have stopped watching the game, and Kevin Cash is going to get killed for this, and rightfully so. But it's the front office of the Rays and the front office everywhere that has lost track of how the game should be played. I'm sorry. I give up. This is too much now.
Standing ovation. Tim Kurkjian. You know when you lose a guy like that? I mean, that's the keeper of the gate. Who's next? Rochy? Like, when you lose a guy like Tim Kurkjian, when he says
he's hardcore,
we've lost our feel, we've stopped watching the game, and it's not Kevin Cash, it's the front office in Tampa and all across the league. Oh, he's so right. So right.
I felt this way for a while. I'm not sitting here trying to pat myself on the back. What have these guys been waiting for? It's been going this way for a long time.
Well, finally he woke up. You know, to lose for a guy like that, Maz, to come to that conclusion.
Yes.
You understand how bad it's gotten?
I mean, you know, again, it's the thing that I was always frustrated by is that the game hasn't been the same for a long time now. And so this is not the game that everyone used to like. It's just not. So that's the part I get frustrated by. But, yes, you know, if you're telling me there's a chance, a small chance that someone's going to wake up and go, well, we got to do something about this, then good. But I doubt it.
Okay, your thoughts, Jack in Auburn, go.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
Very simple. Let's go back to the 68 series. Can you see Red Shandiest going out to the damn mound and saying, Bob, you've struck out 13 people.
Third time through.
Seriously.
Forget about it. I mean, it's like it would be the George Floyd situation in reverse.
I don't get that joke. I mean, that's not funny, but I know what you're saying.
Well, I mentioned, you know, the Jack Morris performance in 91 against the Braves.
Would never happen, no.
He was at 5 1/3 in Game 7. He'd thrown 78 pitches and given up 5 hits. Last night, Blake Snell, in 5 1/3, had thrown 73 pitches and had given up 2 hits.
And they'd seen enough.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I can't believe they left Morris in that game. So it's that kind of thing.
Follow
right?
The template. He has to come out.
I mean, really, it's unbelievable.
It's one of the great postseason performances in the history of the game.
Don Larson's perfect game. It would never happen.
Third time through.
Yeah. No, after 6 innings, you're out. 18 for 18. Go grab some pine over there, pal.
Oh, nerds. Kevin in Arlington. Yes.
Hey, guys, just a comment and then just a quick question after. You know, everyone's wondering, you know, how do the David Rosses and the Aaron Boones, how do they come out of the booth and then, you know, become managers?
Because they're not managing.
You know, it's obvious now how they do it. They don't need to know very much, do they?
Nope.
You know, they really don't have to do anything. They just come down there, someone hands them the 3-ring binder, and then bang. Just do what you got to do.
That's it.
Right?
That's it.
Just be a personable yes man.
That's it, Kevin.
Yeah, just be likable.
And it's why so many ex-players are doing it, because it's really just about managing the babies in the clubhouse. So as an ex-player, you have probably the ear of the players, certainly to start. You can commiserate with them and relate to them. And that's the value of the modern day manager. Forget about the stuff in the game. He's not doing anything.
No, there's a shrink. That's what he is. He's a shrink. He's there to just kind of keep their mood, you know, keep their head straight.
Yeah.
That's it. You're a shrink. That's all. Put Dr. Quack down there and let him manage the team.
Dave in Philadelphia, been waiting patiently. Thanks for hanging on, Dave. Go ahead.
You guys have really been covering what I would call to say, and is it? And I'm not a proponent for it all, but the biggest problem with the nerd-driven baseball is just what you guys have been saying all show, is that it works. And so once the toothpaste is out of the tube, there's no man. Even if a manager wanted to go against it, he's got someone in the front office who's going to restrict him from doing it. So the only way to get around it is to limit his situational options to the point where you might as well pull him out of the dugout, and it's not the same game anymore. I mean, that's it. The fact is it's done.
No,
we know it works.
So there are rule changes, Dave. The third time through, I don't know how they get past that. But there are other things, like the shifts they could outlaw.
Yep, I would outlaw the shifts.
And I would absolutely positively outlaw shifts, make it an illegal defense. Most sports have some form of illegal defense. And so why can't baseball? Baseball's the only sport that makes no rule changes. They've made none. I mean, and replay doesn't really count.
No, significant rule changes to the core of the game.
Right, the only sport that's made none. I mean, football makes them every year. Every sport has made major changes to their game, and this one hasn't. So, there's some of the nerd stuff. I mean, it's a start with the relievers have to face three batters. And did they do away with that in the postseason, by the way, or does that still go in the postseason? I didn't even keep track of that.
No, that's still in.
That's still in.
Yeah, but if you finish an inning, it doesn't have to be three.
Right. Okay. But either way, so like that's a half start right there. That's a half measure. Outlaw the illegal defenses, for sure the pitch clock, because again, the nerds, along with the physicists and, you know, those people have figured out that the longer you hold the ball, the more velocity you get. So these pitchers are intentionally holding the ball and scratching their nuts, just an extra count, because the longer they wait, the more velocity they get in the next pitch. And as we all know, it's all about velocity, both pitching velocity and exit velocity. So pitch count, make them throw the ball. Like, there's other little things you can do there, and there's other tweaks you can make. But you're not going to get rid of all. You can't get rid of all of it. But
you can't get rid of this one.
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't know how you.
How do you legislate this one out? You got to face. You know, you got to go six innings.
How do you make a nerd let a great player continue to play great and keep him on the field? I don't think you can.
No, you can't. Again, they've taken the performance out of the sport.
Tony and Stoneham on Mookie Betts. Go, Tony.
And all I want to say about Mookie is that he was not unhappy with the team, and that's not why he left. You gotta understand Boston. Boston, it wasn't a race town. It was a town that was divided by nationality, not black and white.
I mean, you've probably been here longer than me, but
I have. And let me just explain. Nobody lived in the North End if they weren't Italian. No one lived in South Boston if they weren't Irish.
Okay, I mean, I understand that, but...
And now, getting back to this other thing now. I worked with John Henry down in Florida. I worked in the same building. He rented from my boss. And I used to see him a lot. I had lunch with him a couple of times. I went to a couple of functions with him. And the guy that we called earlier about this crap that's going on in baseball, that is John Henry, 100,000%.
Oh, absolutely. He is a nerd. He loves the nerds. He feels the nerds. I mean, again, Dakota, soybeans, like looking at soybean spreadsheets. That's how he became a billionaire. That's
pork bellies.
That's what he knows. And he grew up loving baseball because he got to play the rotisserie games, which was the precursor to all the online nerdery. So he's been a longtime baseball nerd. Loves this stuff. Loves this. So, yeah, you're port. If you don't like this style of baseball, you're from the ownership down, they want to be this.
Oh, no question about it, they do. Henry is a nerd. I mean, that's what you're getting at. And look, at the end of the day, that's fine. If the owner is, he is. But when they want to just take away what the players can do, this is the whole point of watching. The whole point is to see stuff that inspires you, that is captivating, riveting, all of it, compelling. That's the one of the number one reasons. And they have so refined the process that they've eliminated that.
Mm-hmm. Max efficiency. Tom and Clinton, go ahead, Tom.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Tom.
Hey, Maz, you remember Stratomatic Baseball back in the day?
Sure, of course.
That's what it's come down to now. I mean, I played 20 years ago with my buddies, and I'd take out Pedro Martinez and bring some no-name in lefty to face Larry Walker because Larry Walker couldn't hit lefties. You know, it's just the same thing now. It's just crazy.
It's worse. It's worse.
And that's what Henry grew up doing, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's worse because, again, the whole lefty-lefty thing, that's always been there. That's what, it's just now they've taken it to such a degree that it has eliminated the entertainment value. So, like, you know, it used to be the starter would go into the seventh or eighth, and then you match up. Now you're going to do, you don't let him see a batting order the third time through?
Somewhere along the way, a nerd saw that starting pitchers, that when they face the lineup the third time through, the batting averages go up, the strikeouts go, et cetera. And they averaged it out over all of baseball, over a set amount of time, and they came up with it. And somewhere, some nerd ran that whole thing, and they got it. They got the numbers, and now that's it. That's baseball.
I know. And it's just that, look, I get it. Over the long term, it works. It works, because that's ultimately what it's all based on.
But you've completely lost the drama of a guy taking the ball and shoving for nine innings and putting a team on his back. It doesn't exist anymore.
No, it doesn't. And the problem is that the numbers don't always work in the short term. So you can use the analytics all you want. But the fact is that you're going to have moments like last night when the analytics tell us to go to the bullpen. Fine. He blew the game for you. Congratulations.
Mike in Nashua, quickly.
Yeah, so I grew up in the 60s. That guy who talked about Shady coming out, take the ball from Gibson, it took the words right out of my mouth. But I also agree with what Tony just said. When you guys deal with, you don't take them. I mean, the stats, the analytics, that works over the long term, but when your guy's dealing like Snell was, you don't take him out. Come on, Mike.
Kevin Cash didn't care that he was dealing. Had nothing to do with it.
See, that's the part that's irritating.
It had nothing to do with what was happening on the field. It was the formula. It had nothing to do with it.
I know. They've turned it into a science project.
It doesn't compute. Dealing is feeling.
Seriously, though, right?
They don't want any part of that.
Doesn't that blow your mind?
Oh, I hate it.
Like, in theory, if you take that to the extreme, which they've done, not only could he go 18 batters, 18 outs, he could strike them all out.
Right.
In fact, it might be worse because he throws more pitches. Like, really? He struck them all out? Doesn't matter. Nope, third time through.
That's it. That's the game. Meanwhile, I think we finally figured out what's wrong with Rob Manfred. We'll get to that right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Oh, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Corey, you thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance. You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory, and it's my pleasure to recognize your great play with the Willie Mays Most Valuable Player Award presented by Chevrolet.
I said we finally figured out what's wrong with Rob Manfred. He's a drunk.
Oh, my God. This was unbelievable.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
He's a freaking lush.
Throughout the postseason with a great performance.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
He's clearly slurring his words, and there's people that are trying to like fight back on this and saying, well, no, it's the audio delay that you get when you're holding a live microphone, and there's a delay when you're down there. You know, it's happened. You guys have probably done like on-field announcements at some point. Like, you hear that. You don't sound like you just had a fifth of vodka.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
That's the best part of the whole thing. The Dodgers.
You led the Dodgers.
That has nothing to do with the delay or that screwing up your brain. That's liquor.
I've never been a big fan of the Dodgers.
And it's my pleasure to recognize your great play with the Willie Mays Most Valuable Player Award.
Most valuable.
So now I finally figured out why you can't get anything done.
I got new respect for him. Passed out. After that baseball season, I'd have been sauced the night of game six through.
Freaking drunk. I don't, you know, I'm just going to go with the fact he was drunk and not with the fact that it was Mike feedback or some. And
there's no way. You don't slur your words like that.
It might be, but I'm going to just reject it out of hand and just go with what I'm hearing. I'm hearing a drunk.
I do hate the Dodgers.
Congratulations to the Brooklyn, Los Angeles.
Oh, my God.
I've
seen it before. I mean, like.
The Dodgers.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
That is so good.
I mean, it does remind me. You know, I remember I was covering a game at. I'm sorry, story time. We don't typically do this, but anyway.
Foxborough?
I was covering a game at the Giants Stadium, the Patriots Jets, and. It's halftime, and Rich Thompson at the Herald, the writer, comes up because there was something at half. I can't remember what it was, like a 50th anniversary, 100th anniversary, something, some sort of anniversary thing. And he came up to me, and he said, yeah, we just talked to Joe Namath. There's something not right with him.
What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
It's one of the all-time great lines.
And it turned out to be that night. Yeah. So, like, I know, Rich, you're onto something. Yep, no, you cracked the case.
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
That's how Manfred sounded last night.
How many syllables does the word struggling have?
Less about the team struggling.
I mean, oh, my God. The Dodgers is...
You see the pictures of him. He looks all well put together. If you just looked at Joe, you wouldn't know it.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
Well, when the words come out, it's, you know, it betrays you.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
The best part, if you want to go back and watch it, the absolute best part, which people missed at the time, is... when Susie first asked him the question, Joe did one of these.
Oh, yeah. Take a peek at her backside.
He turned around and looked at her tush. Like, but just sort of very shyly, like, what's it looking back? What's it look like in back? Oy vey. So no wonder he can't get anything done.
The Dodgers is...
Guy's a lush.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously, I heard that and went, wow. Holy crap.
One other thing from last night we haven't gotten to is that Kevin Turner, this is another thing. Wow. Eighth inning, Kevin Turner gets his COVID result.
Justin. You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
So I don't know how this happens, but it was the eighth or the sixth.
It was. I think it was after this, between the sixth and the seventh.
Okay, so it was deep in the game. I'm sorry. It was. So going into the seventh inning of the sixth game of the World Series, he got his COVID result. Like, how does that happen? Then? So anyway, he got his COVID result. He had tested positive. And they had to yank him from the game.
Correct.
So they yanked him from the game in the last three innings of game six of the World Effing Series because that's when the result came in. And then they win and he goes back out onto the field, a lot of it without a mask, celebrating with his teammates. People wonder how that could happen. I have one clue because the guy in charge of the whole thing was sauced to the bejesus.
You thrilled our fans throughout the postseason with a great performance.
Him out there.
Yeah, how's Manfred going to know? He couldn't see 2 feet in front
you
of him.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
The Dodgers.
But anyway, Turner and the baseball is catching all sorts of grief for him coming back out without a mask or him coming back out at all. Murray, you got a thought on it?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's 100% wrong, but the guy worked his entire life for that moment. He finds out late in the game, like you say, so 30 minutes from that moment, he tests positive. And so, look, a lot of the Twitterati and a lot of people are like, shame on him, shame, shame, shame. Why he shouldn't be out there, have a mask on. His teammates and his manager seemingly didn't have that much of an issue with it. So I'm not going to sit in my perch here and be like finger wagging Nana about this. Can I just not care? Because I kind of don't care. It's a bad look. He was wrong. Probably should have stayed in the clubhouse. But he was out there. They won the World Series. You celebrate. Hopefully no one else catches in his team. I hope that they don't. But other than that, like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I really don't.
I mean, hopefully the only way this really becomes a major story is if somebody there now has lasting effects from it. And then all of a sudden it's like,
Well, the go-to one is Kelly Jansen, who had it prior to the season and, you know, had a hard time dealing with it, apparently, and shaking it, and talked about that a few weeks after he had his positive diagnosis.
But it's predictable, isn't it? They win the World Series, you know he's going out there.
So my only issue is if his teammates did not know. As long as they know, if they know, then it's your own choice whether to get close to the guy or not. And, you know, he's out there with his wife. You see her, by the way?
Yeah.
Oh, or his girlfriend?
Good pull for a guy that looks like a garden.
Seriously. It looks like the heat miser. That, you know, but to play ball, Maz. Play ball or play guitar. You're all set. Doesn't matter what you look like.
Oh, I guarantee you they encourage him to come out there.
Okay, so either way, as long as everyone knew, then it's your, you know, and it's not, it doesn't totally work that way because then you spread it and then that gets spread. So, like, I'm all for, you know, I'm a big proponent of keeping things open and going about your business, but being careful. That's not careful. But if all of his teammates knew, then that's on them as much as it is him. If they didn't know, then that's probably bad for him.
Oh, I can't imagine that they didn't know. Something like that spreads quickly.
I mean, how do you get pulled from the seventh inning of the World Series?
And it was between the seventh and the eighth, not the sixth and the seventh.
So, I mean, like, that's when the result came in. Now I sound like Manfred.
Yeah, it just came in.
You led the Dodgers to the World Series victory.
I want to kiss you. Oh, what an interview that was.
What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling. Struggling.
It reminded me of that.
Team struggling.
That's a great one.
But that's when the result came in. Eighth inning of the World Series.
Don't they get rapid tests? Where's the rapid in the rapid test?
I just, like, of all the times, you know, and you would think, like, I previously thought they would let that one go. We're about to win the championship. Just let them know after the game. You know, but no, they came and yanked him out of the dugout. He was probably back pounding with Manfred.
You led the Dodgers to a World Series victory.
Well, they were going to pull him anyway because they didn't want him to get a fourth of bat.
All right, but back to your calls in our long commercial free segment next.
Boston's home for sports. Zilger and Mavs, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass. It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
That is as bad a decision. I cannot believe this dope took, and I like Cash. I mean, he's done a good job, but this was such an idiotic move and such a mind-boggling. You know, I can't have him face the third time through the lineup. Nonsense. Nonsense. Watch the game with your eyes, you. Watch the game. Nonsense. Leave him in. He wasn't going to score any more runs. It was 1-0. That was the most Tampa was going to get. They were not going to hit that Dodger bullpen. They had a chance or so early. They didn't add on. And after that, you knew that Tampa's best chance to force a game 7 was just to get 27 outs. That's it. Play defense and figure out a way to get 27 outs. They got a pitcher in that scenario who gets the first 16 of those 27 outs, who looks unhittable, who's got at least 30 more bullets in his left arm. At least. And he decides to run to his pen. In that kind of game where you knew it was going to be 1-0 and the Dodgers could get tight as the game moved along and had all sorts of trouble figuring him out with his 4 pitches, in that kind of game, you have to say to yourself, if you're the manager, all right, here's the deal. He's got big stuff tonight. We're not scoring again. My bullpen's been spotty. Maybe I can get 5-6 outs at most out of my 3 guys in a bullpen. This guy's got to get 21 outs. Has to. And he took him out of the game.
So, you know, Mad Dog would weigh in on it. That was earlier today. Hopefully you don't have satellite and switch over.
It's the game. Nonsense. Leave him in.
Doggy doesn't get it. He still doesn't get it. He thinks it's Kevin Cash's decision. He thinks it was a managerial decision.
It's the game. Nonsense.
They're not watching the game, Chris. They're not watching the game. They've been given the printout and the plan before the game. He was not going to get to the third time through. I remember, again, Dog.
Nonsense.
He's such an old school baseball guy. It's just, it's taking him longer to accept what his sport has become. I remember him interviewing Craig Counsell, the Brewers, a couple years ago. They lost the NLCS to the Dodgers in seven games. In the second game, they were up 1-0, one game to nothing, and Wade Miley, of all people, was shutting down the Dodgers. He was shutting them out. Brewers had a 2-0 lead in the sixth inning in game two, about to take control of the series, and I think Miley gave up one hit, and they yanked him and ended up losing the game in the bullpen. I remember Mad Dog asking Craig Counsell, the manager, after the season about that. And as he was asking him, I said to the radio, Chris, third time through, don't you know the answer to this? Sure enough, Craig Counsell says, well, Chris, our data shows that the third time through, Miley died. I'm like, third time through.
Watch the game with your eyes.
They don't watch the game with their eyes anymore, Chris. They don't.
Nonsense.
And as Kirchen said so brilliantly before, they've stopped watching the game.
Nonsense.
There's just has no feel for it at all. And you know, like, and I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong about Miley. You know, and I get some of the...
Miley's different than Snell.
Well, I mean, right. So this guy's a Cy Young winner. And he had electric stuff. I mean, he was throwing the ball by guys all night. You know, it's like they've ruined it. They've ruined it. Like, if you know going in that the starter's coming out, why there's no drama there? Well, what difference does it make? He's coming out. I mean, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what he does, because the game's going to be decided in the final four innings by the bullpen. Just it kills it.
Okay, few quick thoughts here before we get to Paul Perillo and a football hour.
So nonsense.
Got to be really quick. Colleen, go ahead, Colleen.
Yeah, hi guys. Can you hear me all good?
Yes, I can.
All right, so I find it kind of ironic after what happened last night that today Daryl Morey, considered one of the most analytical people in the NBA, was hired to be the president of the Sixers. I mean, he's inheriting one of the most unanalytically friendly players in Ben Simmons, who's great, but he either can't or won't shoot, and I don't know which one's worse. And, I mean, you look at what the guy did for the Rockets last year, meaning Morey. He had no center, and everyone was shooting threes, the most in NBA history.
Right. Now he's taking over a team with a point guard who can't shoot and a center who can shoot the three but is really more of a traditional center. Oh, that team's already ruined, so I'm going to say that he's going to ruin them. The Nerds have taken over basketball, too.
Mm-hmm.
But those Nerds haven't ground the game to a halt. It's still an entertaining product. What the Nerd wants you to do in basketball is still relatively entertaining. Spread the floor, shoot the three, move the basketball. Like, I get it.
Sure.
That's not, you know, what the Nerd wants the baseball player to do in baseball is grinding that sport to a halt.
Absolutely. Yeah, I recognize it's not apples to apples, but I'd also tell you that Joel Embiid is 7 feet tall and should have his ass near the basket every single time. Are they going to have him up by the three-point line? Because that's stupid.
I bet.
Of course.
Joe and Chelsea. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Mike. I don't get to talk, calling not much, being laid off. It's one good, you know, thing I get to see you guys and talk, listen to you guys. But I'll be real quick. I'm right in line with everybody else. It's just baseball is not the same. During the virus, when they weren't playing, if you watch these old games, I mean, the difference is just, it's just so much. And the only part I don't agree with you guys on, and I, go ahead, call me names, it's okay. I don't agree with the analytics. I mean, again, it's just to me, you watch with your eyes, and what I saw last night was a guy just throwing 96, 97, and he's just mowing him down. How do you take him out?
So it what I'm saying, Joe, is that the analytics work in the long haul. Over the long sample, they work. That's why they do it. So all the data comes in, and I've watched it. My team, the Brewers, are massively analytic. Massive. As bad as the Rays. And it works. It works. I see it work on a daily basis. It's just not very entertaining to watch.
No. Look, again, over the long term, it is your best chance to win. They're playing odds. That's all they're doing. They're like gamblers who are trying to win 52% of the time or whatever it is. You know, you win 55%, you're rich. So they look at it and say, you know, if this works 76% of the time, we're going to do it. And we're going to keep doing it no matter what. And we're just going to play those odds, which, again, eliminates the human element. And you just say, well, if, in that case, what do I need to watch the first five innings for?
Wayne, quick, what do you got?
Well, Roberts, I've been on his case for two lousy managing jobs in the World Series. But he did go with his gut, believe it or not, with Urias, who came in and faced 6 out of 7 right-handers. He's a lefty, and he got them all out, including their two top hitters. So maybe there is something coming about to change some of this nerdism.
Well,
I don't think there is, Wayne. And I'm telling you, they probably got numbers that show that he's good against...
One time through.
Yep, right. One time through, or he's good for six outs, or he's good for so many pitches, or whether it's left, right. I'm sure they've run the individual numbers on those matchups. And maybe he's good against the opposite side or whatever. I mean, a lot of these nerd teams, this is sort of a trend in baseball. Not a bad one. These relievers that go two-plus innings and are like, you know, Andrew Miller even started that, you know, like... That's sort of a common trend, too. But make no mistake, like I've heard people say that the Rays have to play that way. The Dodgers play the same way.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers play the same way. They used an opener for two of the six games in this series, a team with a $200-plus million payroll, some of the best starting pitching in baseball. None of their starters ever went more than six innings, third time through, and they had bullpen days, including the clinching game of Game 6 of the World Series, the Dodgers used a bullpen game. So don't tell me like the Dodgers are playing some sort of different style of baseball. They're doing the exact same thing.
Totally. But I would also tell you that I think there's a problem in that. Because when you have the most talent, you should err towards your talent.
Of course it's a bigger problem that they do it. Of course.
Like, you know, so like...
It's not a Tampa problem. It's a
Oh, it's a baseball problem. Yeah, I just think the Rays are the face of it. That's all. I think the Rays are the face of it. You know, again, that move last night. Wow, talk about taking it to a new level.
Jesus, holy crap. Okay, let's talk some Patriots. We'll get back to this in the 5 o'clock hour, believe me. But we got Paul Perillo standing by. Again, a high-ranking member of the Patriots organization. I want some answers. An impending trade for Stephon Gilmore. The house is on the market. You know, we're big proponents here. We've told you over the years, follow the real estate. Follow the real estate. Stephon Gilmore, not only is his house on the market, they put a deadline for bids Tuesday at 5 o'clock. The trading deadline's Tuesday at 4 o'clock. How's that?
Well, he wants to be out before the election's done.
Like, or not just that. It's like, no, I'm out of here that day, so get him in. Well, either way, so the Stephon Gilmore pending trade, what should be the direction of the team? Should they be selling? Should they be in tank mode? What's wrong with Cam Newton? Is it even worth trying to salvage him? All these things. I know Paul has thoughts on them. We'll get to him right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.